I have reached sailing nirvana. It's not on any chart, but a state of zen-like serenity that the French mystic vegetarian Bernard Moitessier could only achieve by sailing around the world 1.5 times in the lotus position, going Om. Now, it's hard to describe, but it's a condition of spiritual inner calm that comes from the seismic realization that I'm headed for the boat show in London and I don't actually need to buy anything. At least, not that I can think of. For once, my credit card isn't going to get caned. In fact, I know it sounds reckless, but I was even thinking of leaving it at home. Such giddy euphoria. Boat shows, you see, are a rite of passage for any sailor, a journey through life that begins with innocent moon-eyed wonder, made heady by the hallucinogenic solvent aroma of glass fiber releasing agents. In my early years as a boat show novice, you mostly think, wow, that's big, wow, that's shiny. How much? Well, splice my futtocks. All of which makes you, well, me anyway, feel even more inadequate than strictly necessary. My way of compensating was to start blagging my way onto boats, particularly very, very big ones that were cordoned off, had bouncers on, a no-man's land of carpet with a reception desk in the middle, manned by gel-coated blonde women and yucca plant sentries, along with a sign saying, "Viewing by very rich people only, and prove it." Well, perhaps I overcompensated. To improve my chances of running the gauntlet, I started dressing all nautical. But I stopped short of those manly faded pink trousers, professionally distressed deck shoes, no socks, and no chin. That's the look universally recognized as the official traditional ethnic dress of the humble stockbroker, and also much favoured in Chelsea and Fulham, and by French people who wear it without shoes because they use their feet for eating in order to leave their hands free for gesticulating and smoking. Well, it was fun for a while until I realised that the interiors of all new big boats look like an IKEA showroom from 10 years ago. And then a sea change came upon me. I made the transition from penniless dreamer to even more skint boat owner, and all of a sudden I started buying stuff to make my boat shinier, faster, much befendered, more appealing to women, that was a welcome aboard doormat, and ultimately slower, on account of the weight of all these must-have essentials. I also went from skint to totally, utterly broke, almost Greek in fact. It was round about then that I was allocated my own personal nautical care in the community caseworker, that bearded old sort Julian, whose whiskers are used to calibrate military barometers. He showed me the light. Instead of buying stuff, Julian would turn up with, for example, an obsolete corroded washer in some biblical measurement unit, that's Old Testament of course, and engage a salesman in a very technical discussion about upgrading to a New Testament compatible replacement fitting in marine grade antinomy. The result, at the end of the day, and it would take at least a day, is that Julian would spend nothing at all and the salesman would sell nothing at all. And that's worth it on its own, and indeed a great service to the sailing community. Well, then Julian would return to his roughy-tufty 36, having decided, after all, that the washer was perfectly serviceable, and he would refit it to the perish plug on his galley sink for another 32 years. Well, I followed my mentor's example, but lacking Julian's persistence and technical knowledge, I usually ended up buying something that no responsible boat owner should be without, as the salesman always assured me. And it was also turned out to be something that had no discernible purpose. Salesmen, you see, are so plausible. It was also an incredible bargain, the salesman said, despite being monstrously costly. This, I later found, is one way to acquire stock for a boat jumble. And that was when I decided it would be a good idea to actually acquire some knowledge. So I started buying technical books at the boat show. The fact is, they don't work, not even if you open them. The proof is my collection of books about knots, which is the world's largest. Titles include Knot Know-How, and the sequel, Knot Know-How, Knot Never, Knot for Navigation, Knot on Your Nelly, Knot a Lot, by TV magician Paul Daniels, and that 1970s classic, Knots for Sea Ladies, which is more modern than you think, with an interesting section on gagging orders. Now, when you're buying books like Complete Knots for Complete Idiots and Knots for Total Losers, it can begin to affect your self-esteem. So I stopped buying books. But I'm over all that now. Here I am, I'm wandering the aisles at the XL Boat Show with all the mystic serenity of the Dalai Lama. I no longer crave or need more earthly boat possessions. I've achieved a higher state, and then I see some rope. I can no longer control the old craving. A bloke once said to me, "You can never have too much rope," and he's right, damn it. That's because all my other rope is tangled, thanks to all those knot books I bought at the boat show.